Thank you, thank you. Clive, would you help me? Could you just give me some soft noodling of this song behind?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Okay. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to just join me today. We're going to go into a couple moment meditation. So close your eyes with me, if you will. And feel the sweetness of this day. Listening to the rain as it serenades to us its own song. Maybe you hear the sound of your own breath. Just allow yourself to settle. And become available to the one. The one inspiration, the one influence, the intuition of life itself. Allow yourself to let go of whatever angst that might have caught your attention this morning. Anything that could distract you from your fullness, from your wholeness, just let it go right now. Be fully present here. Utilize your breath to keep you plugged in and aware. With every breath, have the memory. Life is good. Life is very, very good. For spirit in all of its generous nature is always here, is always sourcing itself. And we get to feel that throughout who we are, through every beat of the heart, through every breath that we take, through the activity of our minds. Let us remember every day in all moments, especially that moment upon waking, that life is good, that God is good, that God is here, that God is here. Never are we alone. Never are we without. We just simply remember to turn our attention always as quickly as possible to the I allow and I accept. So throughout the day, whatever activity is happening, if it's an activity that has a stress factor, we turn quickly. And we remember, I allow God to be the only element in my life, and I accept this good and this greater good. And I accept it with ease and grace. And as I go off to work, if there's any worry or fear, I go off and I accept and I allow my good with ease and with grace. And we remember this every day upon awakening. And we surrender our day and surrender our day and surrender our worry and surrender our angst and surrender our fear. And with each practice of surrender, good shows itself, good multiplies itself. And we accept and we allow with ease and with grace. We accept and we allow with ease and grace. Because here's the truth. God in its full potency is always available right here in this moment by means of each of us. So take a couple of breaths and breathe into that truth and allow it to multiply in your body. And then take one more breath. And take that truth, and as you multiply it, let it fill the room. And know with me that this is so, and this is so now. And so it is. Thank you, Clive. I love movies and the metaphors in movies. And there's a movie that many of you have seen, I know, because I've watched it with you in class, and some of you have just seen anyway. The movie Crash, right? Show of hands if you've seen it. Okay, if you haven't seen it, I would put it on your to-see list, because within that movie is there are a variety of lessons, but one of the most important lessons for me is how good and evil are different sides of the same coin, and they both live within. And it's all about our attention and our perception. But it's a great movie for that purpose. Within the movie, there's this character. She is the wife of some politician. I can't remember off the top of my head what kind of politician he is, but some big wig in the town of Los Angeles. And she and he one night after leaving a restaurant were held up by gunpoint, and they were carjacked. And so needless to say, even if she normally didn't have any fear, she suddenly was having fear. And she was walking around in this fear to the point that they went home and they made sure they changed all the locks on the doors, I think twice for a particular reason, if you remember. And what happened was, though, throughout this character she develops in the movie, she gets in touch with the fact that she lives in fear all the time, that she's angry. Actually, it was angry. She realizes that she's always angry. She hadn't known it before then. And so she questioned that to a friend. She was trying to have a heart-to-heart with a friend who was too busy trying to get a manicure to actually sit and listen to a friend as she's pouring her heart out and says, "My God, I'm always angry. Why am I angry?" But without that realization, without that moment, and I've coined a new phrase from getting some coaching, it's within-query. An inquiry that's within, so I like to call it within-query. Without that within-query and looking and being willing to see, she would not have recognized the state of her being. So freedom, a free life is possible, but we have to first free our mind. But before we can free our mind to have a free life and to utilize that equation, we have to first be willing to recognize what's running us behind the scenes. And that's not always easy, because some of the things that have conditioned our lives are so ingrained in us from the day you were born, you don't even think to question. You don't even think to question. Do you know what I'm talking about? And some of these things, sometimes they come through and they look like, or some of the opportunities to catch these things look like losing a job. So depending upon how I label that at that moment will determine the experience I get out of it. Sometimes it looks like a divorce. Until that moment, we might not have questioned. We might have been married and thought, well, we'll never not be married. I'm going to be married forever. And so maybe that caused you to behave in such a way that you took your spouse for granted and you didn't feed the marriage that you said was so important. Or maybe you didn't learn to accept the full responsibility of your employment and that your employer was somebody who's human and to develop a relationship. And so somewhere out of there, they became the bad guy. And we don't make these inquiries to find out how we're thinking and or feeling about things. But the thinking and the feeling and the asking of the questions is critical to know how to have a new thought. In order to have a new thought, you have to know what was. This interesting thing happens when I have a wedding interview, when I'm about to marry a couple, I'll always sit with them. And I say this each and every time. You can have whatever you want. You can have whatever you want. I'll give you whatever you want. I'm here to serve you. Nothing is required except that I sign the license. Everything else is a show. You might not know that, but everything else is a show. You could walk in, I could sign the paper, you could be home, you're done. But the idea that everything is available and that everything is possible is too big for most people. Because even though I've just said that, and sometimes I explain it, they still sit there and they'll say, well, do you think I could? You can have whatever you want. Well, I really don't like it when, you know, when the father walks the bride down. Don't do it. You can have what you want. I'm telling them there's a smorgasbord of anything you want. Anything that will tickle your fancy, we can make happen. But it's too big because their minds have been conditioned around this idea. Are you with me? You don't know it, but there's certain things that you are on automatic about in your life right now. Right now. You're on automatic. I had somebody here who needed a certain amount of business written for her company. Although it seemed like it was never going to happen within the amount of time that was allotted. But this person is so anchored in new thought, and in the power of prayer, she remembered to pray for it. She remembered to ask for prayerful support, so we did it. Not only did she create the miraculous, within a short time, she went above and beyond it. Because she had the wherewithal to know that she could not limit the expression of God in her life. She had the wherewithal. You have to be willing to know what you don't have or what's holding you back to know where to go. And then not to judge it. Not to judge it. That's where some of us get really caught up. There's this great little book. It's an introduction to spiritual mind treatment by John Waterhouse. He was here back in March, and he's a friend and just a delightful, for those of you who met him. He's like a big teddy bear. And so this book, if you have not yet been in a Science of Mind class, if you have not studied treatment, this is a great little, I say little because it's an easy read, but it's a great book with the steps of treatment that will really launch you into the practice of spiritual mind treatment. And so under the category of how our beliefs filter our experiences, he says, as human beings, we are constantly processing massive amounts of information. When we believe something is so, we will accept only information that supports our belief until we are willing to change that belief. Having beliefs is an innate characteristic of the human psyche, and our entire understanding of life is based on the sum total of what we have believed to be. So from our earliest memories to now, until we are willing to change what we believe, our minds will tend to reject anything that is contrary to the individual beliefs. And then he goes on to give an example how one time he was coming home from a conference in Colorado, and he lives in North Carolina. And he had heard in a weather report when they were still in Colorado that North Carolina had experienced an uncharacteristic blanketing of snow. They don't get it much down there at all. And so what happened was sometimes he's like a little child and he loves the idea of snow, living in the South all his life. He hasn't known snow. So the thought that he was going to come home and there was going to be snow was absolutely thrilling him. So when they were arriving at the airport in North Carolina, he looks out the window and he's like, oh, look at the snow. And the man sitting next to him, he says, there's no snow. And John's like, no, look, there's snow. And the man said, no, there's no snow. And John looks again and he's convinced there's snow. And then the man says to him, no, it was warmer than they thought. It never happened. But John wanted and believed there was going to be snow so much he saw the snow. Now that's sweet and that's harmless. Where that system doesn't work is when you really believe something that's not for you. When you really believe that someone's against you and you've gathered evidence. When you really believe that the job is not available to you. See, that's a sweet story. But most of us learn this lesson a hard way because we utilize it against us. One of my other students a while back, we were talking finances again. Finances are such a great way to plunge yourself deep into spiritual practice. It's really kind of an interesting thing about money. And so what happened was they were convinced that at this time no one was hiring and nothing would be available. Well, much to the contrary, within no time, this person got the job that they needed and has been working full-time since. It was like a no time. And so the other part of freeing your mind of the old ideas is freeing it quickly. We are here to change our mind and keep it changed. That's the thing. Change your mind and keep it changed. But looking at where do I want to change it? How do I change it? And we do that by asking ourselves the tough questions. Now, I'm pretty convinced, as many of you are here, that there is a God. Yeah? All right. But there's also the element of some of us still that don't necessarily like the G word. And that's okay. Because here you can take the, let's call it the M factor, the mystical, mysterious, miraculous element out of this conversation. Let's assume that it's not magically, wonderfully potent. Just for a second. There is still great value in setting our minds in a new direction. For example, now if you're willing to admit it, smokers in the room? Okay, there's a couple smokers in the room and a couple that aren't admitting it. Usually you find yourself outside together, right, sharing a cigarette and chatting, right? You know, because you have this similar thing. Knitters in the room. Anybody knit? Okay, we got some knitters in the room. How do you find each other? Through conversation. You find through conversation, through setting that out there, and then creating your own little community in your conversation. Yes? Same thing happens with cigar smokers or golfers. Golfers, right? We got at least two in the back. And what happens is you set your mind, you chat about what it is you like or you love, and then suddenly you find people that share your interest. Yes? I mean, it's a pretty common thing. That's why we use the law. That is why we speak the law. Because when I speak the law and I use it potently and I talk about that there is good and there's greater good and there's always good and there's more good and it is available to me, what happens is I begin to gather evidence. I begin to gather a community. I begin to gather support from within and without the community because I'm speaking it. You are simply throwing out that which you have interest in. So let's reduce it to interest. If your interest is in how life is crappy, you will find support. Will you not? Is it not easy to find someone who'll just sit right down next to you and moan with you? It's a really simple thing. But sometimes a little more difficult to find the one that will support your good. But they're there. So when we throw that idea out, when we speak that idea, and then we loosen our mind from what was, we get support and we get freedom. Freedom simply means you're willing to think differently. You're willing to think outside the box. You're willing in a moment of decision, of figuring out who you are, you're willing to know right then that there is a new possibility. Do you hear me? Some of you utilize this teaching meticulously. It's beautiful to see it happen. It's beautiful to see the unfolding. Some people still are reporting what you don't want. Remember we said a couple of weeks ago that in every moment there is always an opportunity to go two ways. One is simply to report what you don't want, or two, to report and declare your new experience. When we report or when we declare our new experience, we are consistently expanding our life experience. Don't let life tell you the way it should be. You tell life what it is you want. You tell life itself, the experience of love, the experience of freedom, the experience of joy. And so this is what, and it's great because I'm in the Monday night class with Bill's class. Small class, but it's potent class. And so we were talking about being fully present. And I realized this week that when I'm fully present, I am always in choice. I'm always in choice. Are you not, when you're present, in choice? So why would you condemn your choices? We cease experiencing joy when we forget that we chose to be where we are. We chose to be in that relationship. We chose to be in that job. We chose to be in that spiritual community. We chose. I choose. So I become fully present, recognize that I'm in choice, which is more freedom. And then when I recognize that I'm in choice, what comes of that is the opportunity for joy in every moment. The joy ceases to happen when you think that something else is in charge. When you think that something outside, when you think it's your DNA, when you think it's your what your mother did or your father did. Remember, we are not now and never have been at the mercy of anything. Not now, not ever. What is from a place of choice. That's where we have our freedom. Freedom of choice, freedom of being, freedom of expression. Yes? So what do you want? That's the only thing you get to ask yourself. What is it that I actually want to have happen here? If what is happening is different from what you think you want, listen more closely to what you've been pondering. Because life will source itself through your ponderance, the silent part of you that's communicating. Because this is for the public. But your inner, deeper feelings are for God. And God responds to that which you hold dear in the closet, in the cave. That's what God's going to respond to. So if anything, you want to get synchronized with your heart and your speaking. So God gets a really clear message. Yes? Okay. And so it is. So, let's hold hands and secure this in prayer. What was that? That was interesting. So let us know together right here and right now that there is a power, a presence, a love, a potency that is sourcing itself down in, through, and as each and every one of us. I declare in this moment that the full scope and depth of God is consistently available. I make room for it. I allow it. I accept it. I do this with ease and with grace. I accept the good and the greater good. I accept the love. I accept the possibility of life consistently showing up as greater health, greater abundance, greater love, more free expression, more joy. Joy, joy, joy. Yes. I expect it and I get it because I expect it. I expect it in my mind, I expect it in my heart, and I expect it in my total embodiment of the idea. And God, in full celebration, just says, yes, yes, yes. Yes to good, yes to joy, yes to love. So I work with God as my one and only partner always, now and always, always, always. My one and only partner. I call this good and very, very good. As I simply allow this to be so and find it, it finds me right wherever I am. In the moments of joy and the moments of fear, it finds me and it always says yes. For this good, I am so grateful. And I surrender this word. And so it is.